Variety Radio Online. I am Michelle Moreland, and today I'm really excited to have with me Cass Anvar, who plays Alex in the hit TV series The Expanse. Welcome, Cass.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Well, first of all, congratulations on being picked up with Amazon.
Woo-hoo!
I know. Yay!
Aren't we happy about that?
Yes, and all the fans saw that coming?
Who saw that coming? That is quite the kind of welcome gift, I have to say. You know, it was a huge and wonderful surprise.
It's so exciting. So exciting.
Yeah.
You guys, the cast, the fans, just very exciting. So first, I want to bring up, last year at Comic-Con San Diego, you were doing press interviews. And you may remember a funny little incident with Wes. He was starting an interview, and he says, "Are you from Georgia?" And the girl says, "Yes." And he says, "Yay!" He picks her up, swings her around, and says, "Go Georgia Dogs!" And she was like, "Oh, no, go Georgia Tech." And he says, "Oh, we have to depart ways."
That's hilarious.
That was
me. He's a very, very proud, he's a very proud Georgian, that boy.
He is. I knew that that incident you probably would remember because Wes was so funny about it because he picked me up.
Yeah, no, he's got a good ear for accents. So.
Yes, and I do have quite a little Southern accent, I believe. So.
Well, that was funny.
It was funny. We actually left it in the interview on the website, so it was funny.
Oh, nice.
So with The Expanse. The fans are amazing, and you know that. And with season two, there was such great support with the first few seasons. And did you expect to see the avalanche of support for through season three to get season four going? Did you see that coming and that type support as you helped kind of lead the way? Did you see that?
There's a lot of things that we never saw coming. we knew season three, we all felt in our hearts that season three was our best season yet. And we were so excited to get that out to the fans and to the audiences. And when season three broke, when we aired the premiere episode of season three and we got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, it was even better than what we were expecting. So right from the get-go, we were getting surprises. Like, we knew it was good, but we didn't expect that kind of response. And then the fans started chiming in going, "Oh my God, best show ever, best season ever." And every episode after that just got better and better and stronger responses and stronger. Like, every single review, every single fan interaction, people were just raving about season three being the best season of the bunch. So we were on cloud nine. We were euphoric. We were extremely excited about how well it was going. And as you can imagine, as any group of creators giving accolades and rave reviews and wonderful responses, the last thing in the world we were expecting was to be canceled. You just don't expect that when things are going that well and you think like the response is that strong, it just never even crosses your mind that you're going to get canceled. You're basically just starting to think about the future. So that was another thing that we didn't expect. And apparently, you know, they fought tooth and nail. They fought like dogs, to try and make this thing work. But, the type of show that The Expanse is and the type of world that we are now creating for ourselves in terms of storytelling, the fans, they want to watch the shows they want to watch in the way they want to watch them. The old model of television is slowly kind of losing its steam. The model that relies on commercials and on a tune in at this time on this day type of model is just no longer what the fans want anymore, especially when it's an epic, complex, rich, complicated kind of story. You want to watch two or three episodes at a time. You want to go back and watch it again. You want to watch it when you want to watch it. You want to watch it all on the weekend. You want to watch it as a group. You want to watch it with your family. It's become that. And that was the reason why it wasn't working on sci-fi, because it was a traditional kind of old old school model of traditional cable. And so it's not like they almost didn't have a choice. Like it was just something that wasn't working out financially for them. They couldn't stop losing money no matter how good the show was. And so it was a very unexpected thing, and I got a huge education in terms of television and producing and how things work and how the money works in this situation. And I was educated very quickly, and that's why I decided. A few things were told to me by Sci-Fi Network and by my production company, my boss, Alcon Entertainment. I got a bunch of information. I had a meeting one day with both of them on the same day. I had two separate meetings. And I got the information from both of them that led me to just look at the whole situation and say, I don't understand why the show is being canceled. Because mm-hmm. of the positive energy that I'm getting from Sci-Fi, the positive energy I'm getting from Alcon, it didn't seem logical that this show should be falling through and suffering and going to its graveyard just yet. But we had let it go, and we had mourned it and grieved it, and there had been tears, and we all had our last meeting, and we all hugged and kissed and said goodbye. But in my mind, I couldn't see that being the end of it. I don't know why I couldn't accept it. It's just in my personality. When something doesn't make sense, I can't right. really let it go. I'm kind of like a pit bull. And so I kept quiet on social media for that week when the announcement had dropped that it was being canceled. I was processing information. And then I came out and I announced to my fans the subject of the meetings that I had. And I said to them, listen, if you guys can make this happen, if you guys can work a miracle, there's a chance something might happen, because this is what I have gathered. The information, the recon that I've done, the mm-hmm. intel that I've gathered is if you can move a mountain right now, we can potentially crack this glacier and make a miracle happen. And the fans who had already started to passionately come out and say how much they wanted, they'd started a petition. And the day that I made my announcement, there was a banner flying over Amazon's headquarters, and they were talking to Amazon and Netflix and Hulu. Everyone was being reached out. So all I did was I got out there and I focused them, and I told them a few key things that they needed to do to kind of make an impact and shake things up and change the equation. And they responded like a well-oiled machine. They're like a bunch of ninjas in an army, and they just focused their energy in a particular direction, and boom, our ratings soared that night on Sci-Fi, and Amazon started getting bombarded and inundated with requests. Celebrities from all over the world were texting people and messaging the Twitterverse saying, save the show. Jeff Bezos, the head of Amazon, was getting emails and phone calls and text messages from celebrities that loved the show. You know, we had Rainn Wilson, and we had Will Wheaton and Greg Grunberg and all sorts of celebrities. The owner of Facebook, or not Facebook, the creator of Craigslist apparently contacted Bezos himself and said, there's this show that you should watch. And Bezos was a huge fan of the books himself. Like when he's demonstrating the Amazon, yes. When he's demonstrating the Kindle on his Amazon site, the book that's on the Kindle when he's demonstrating is Leviathan Wakes, the first book of The Expanse. So go
that's
figure.
Right.
The stars all aligned. The universe came, and all that was required was a little bit of focusing and a strategic kind of approach, and boom, we cracked that puppy open, and now we're on Amazon.
That's amazing. And it is so exciting. And it goes to tell you the power of what is really – the fans' power. I believe that
huge.
You know, the networks
huge.
All go by the statistics and the money,
yep.
and there is, I think, four shows that have been saved because of this. It, you know, it is the fans that makes the shows and supports you guys individually, no matter where you go. Once a fan follows you, we follow you everywhere. It's like we, as the fans, is help what's create what we love. And I think this is showing the power of how things may continue to shift in what we enjoy to watch. So,
yeah. And it's never been like this before. The fans have never been able to effectuate this kind of change. You're right. It's always been about the numbers and the ratings. That's a traditional kind of TV model, which is slowly changing. You know, it's just the nature of the beast. It's like VHS went to DVD, DVD went to Blu-ray, Blu-ray went to live streaming, and now traditional television is going to online streaming and binge watching, and entire seasons being dropped at the same day. It's just a completely different model, and the world has to adapt to it. You know, CBS television has adapted to it. They've created their own streaming network because they see what's coming. And I know all the networks are going to do it because, you know, they all know how to survive, and there's no way to stop this. This is like a steam engine that is now going at 100 miles an hour. You can't stop this. You know, traditional television is no longer the model.
And that's exciting too, because that just empowers fans to truly focus in on what they enjoy more, and that they do have, you know, a say, and that they can, you know, continue to see a show when there's shows in the past from years ago that we lost after a season or two, and you're just devastated. And so I think that this just, you know, is a great turn for the industry and as a whole. So thank you for helping the fans to understand that and helping the fans because I think,
one of the biggest compliments that I've been hearing is that we managed to avoid the fate of Firefly, because Firefly is one of my favorite shows. It's the Joss Whedon science fiction show that only got 13 episodes before it was canceled. And, you know, there's all sorts of reasons why it was canceled, but it was in a day, it was like 15 years ago or more, but it was in a day where the fans had no power to change the fate of a show. And, now, if Firefly existed today, guarantee you it would have gone on to have a long and wonderful history.
Yeah.
And to be said that, you know, we got to not be Firefly'd is a huge compliment for us, because, you know, to be put in that category as a show that is loved in that way, and to have avoided that fate, even if it's just for another season or two, is a wonderful, wonderful thing to happen. And I just feel this show, the books that have been written, I've been reading the next couple of novels, and the story that is waiting for you guys is just too awesome to not get to tell it. And that's one of the main reasons why I kept fighting, was because I just couldn't give up. There's so much amazing story to come. It didn't make sense. Just didn't make sense.
That's exciting. Yeah. And I'm one of those brown coats who walks around, you know, it's like, oh, I got 13 episodes. And now it's like with The Expanse, you're right. My feeling is just, my heart explodes that we get more. And hearing you talk about it, that, and, you know, that's just a true fan. That's exactly what we want. We want to live what we're feeling. So that's great.
Exactly.
Now, talk about The Expanse a little bit. Now, season three, Naomi unfortunately took a little turn for us. How do you feel her actions her actions at the end of season two has truly affected the team, crew, in the season three?
I mean, it's a huge betrayal, the what happened. I mean, everything that the Rossi crew is about equality and voting and everybody having a voice and everyone making a decision as a group. And the Rossi crew is an independent nation made of Earthers, Martians, and Belters. We don't follow political lines. We don't follow any kind of nationalistic type of agenda. That's what made us special, is we were just a group of democratically voting people who all had a common interest, which was to survive and to live and to thrive. And we all had equal say. There is no person who tells us what to do. And so her doing what she did violated every rule in the book. And it really showed her nationalistic side, her belief in her people. I can't honestly say that from an objective opinion, from an objective perspective, that she did the wrong thing, but it had a devastating result on the team. you know, Alex actually says at one point during the season when he's talking to her, saying, "I'm still mad as hell at what you did, but I kind of wish I had your strength." You know, the way you
right.
take care of the Belters and the way you believe in your people. I wish I could do that. Because he's struggling with himself, kind of not having his identity, not knowing who he is, not knowing if he's a true Martian and a husband and a father, and dealing with all of his failures on all of those fronts. So Naomi's absolute nationalistic pride in being a Belter and protecting them, putting them first, as much as he hates what she did to the team, he admires that aspect of her. So it's a very interesting tug of war. Alex is probably the first person to understand and forgive her because he's a little older. He's a little wiser. His relationship with her was different. You know, Holden takes it very, very personally because of their personal relationship, and how she could keep that secret from him destroyed his trust. And Amos used her as his guide star, as his conscience. And being lied to and betrayed for him is something I don't think most of us can even really understand, like how much he depended on her truth and honesty for him, just for him to be able to function and to be able to have a direction and a path to go. So that betrayal, that violation, you know, shattered two very, very deep relationships. So it had a very profound effect on everyone on the Rossi mm-hmm. crew. And we spend most of season three trying to recover from that and trying to deal with her absence. Because without her strength and her intellect and her intelligence and her moral input, we definitely are struggling. We are missing one of our four limbs. And it's very apparent throughout the season that we miss her.
It is. And let's talk about Alex. Now, Alex has definitely evolved. And how do you mm-hmm. feel as Alex, you personally, how do you feel like where he has evolved into season three? I think we're seeing some turns with him.
Yeah, he's grown a lot over the three seasons. I mean, he was someone who didn't know who he was, didn't know where he was, what he was doing, where he belonged. He was very introverted, very shy, very withdrawn, and didn't have a lot of friends. Basically, he spent all of his energy loving his machines. And then he was thrown into the fire, baptism of fire, when he was caught in a war in the Doniger and basically fighting for their lives. And it happened to all of us. We all got thrown into an unbelievable situation, whereas if we did not perform at our fullest potential, we were all going to die. Each and every single one of us had to perform at our fullest potential in order to survive and save each other's lives. And we all got put into that situation multiple times in the first two seasons. And as a result, Alex finally realizes who he was meant to be when he gets put in the seat of the Rossi. And for the first time, he's fleeing from an exploding Martian battleship. And he has this euphoric kind of nervous laughter that he's going through, because it's regardless of the devastation and the fear and the chaos that's behind him, it's somebody suddenly realizing who they are, what they're meant to be, what their purpose is in life. And that realization just came to him when he was in the seat of that chair. And then from that point forward, he just started to evolve and grow as what he would eventually become, which is the best fighter pilot in the system.
Right. That is true.
And as he grows, he starts to find out what his identity is, he slowly starts to recognize all the failures and things that he has not faced in his life. And because he's found out who he was and what his purpose is, and he's found his new family on the Rossi, he's now in a position of strength where he can start to face things from his past that he had been avoiding his whole life. And, you know, I have to admire him for that. You know,
yeah.
he does kind of man up and face some very, very difficult things and have some very, very difficult conversations with his family. that, you know, we should all be so courageous and so brave to be able to be that honest as Alex was.
That is true. I mean, he definitely, you know, that's something, the courage that all of us need is to face some of those things. And sometimes we can't. And it is, you know, it is nice to see him doing that. And I love his character as he's grown. It just, it really, as a fan, give us the potential to truly love him as he evolved. I mean, each episode it got better and better. You just felt, you just kind of like you embraced his changes more and more, and his acting.
Well, he's one of the most accessible characters in the show. Most of the characters, you know, their backstories are so spectacular. It's almost like a superhero origins. You know, Holden and Amos and Dominique Naomi. They all have these very, very dramatic and extreme histories that have made them who they are. Very easy for people to love them. Very difficult for people to relate to them because they didn't come from that world. Whereas Alex is he's an everyday guy. He's a man with a wife and a kid, grew up in the military, did his 20 years, retired with an honorable discharge, and he just, you know, he's like many military. He's very real, and he's a little older than the rest of the team, and he's got that life experience. He's a family man, and he's got this kind of quiet wisdom to him, and he's got a nice sense of humor, and he's an easy person to relate to. And I've actually got a lot of comments from a lot of military people, which I wasn't expecting, actually, that said that conversation Alex had with his wife is very common. It's a very common situation for military families to find themselves in, that position where the military person who is being deployed all the time and is away from home has this tug of war between his family and his work, where he misses his family like crazy when he's away, but when he's home, he's restless and can't wait to get back to work because it's what he lives for. It's all he knows. He doesn't know how to function in the regular society. So there was a lot of responses from the military community saying how, you know, we really hit the nail on the head, and I have to compliment the writers for that because they really wrote an amazingly poignant and sensitive arc for Alex, but that we really captured that struggle, that dichotomy that exists between the military man that has a family and trying to work out the balance between family and their job, which doesn't always work out well.
Right. No, it is hard to relate to all of that, and you're right. Alex has opened a great door for emotions there, and again, he kind of keeps it real for the attachment to the team and everything. So we appreciate that. You do a great job of bringing him to that character. I mean, it's they've written a great storyline for Alex, and they've written great parts for him. But truly, as an actor, you have helped us visualize and see that. So thank you.
Thank you very much. That's really sweet of you.
The last three episodes have some crazy turns. And they have crazy turns in two ways. One, they have crazy turns in storylines and characters.
Yep.
But they also visually on screen have stepped it up. And so, or changed some things. And it's kind of exciting. Mm-hmm. So I know you can't reveal too much, but what are you excited about in these last three episodes with some of the things that they've done with visually and the storyline for the fans to see? Because I know that they're fixing to obviously get to see it, but what are you excited about for them?
Well, I mean, you get to see the whole – I mean, these three seasons have been all leading up to finally letting the audience know what the hell was this protomolecule thing. It is this obscure biological, technological organism, disease, infestation, advanced technology. We don't know what it is. We don't know what its purpose is. And then it comes off of Venus and it creates this gate. And what the hell is that for? So everything is about figuring out what this is, where it came from, what's its purpose, who are the people behind it, who are the things behind it. And so the last three episodes are really indicative for the fans to finally start to get some answers. Not going to get all the answers, but you're going to get some answers that are going to take everything that you've been thinking and really spin it on its head. Your minds are going to be blown by where the story is going. And now that we've been blessed with a season four, I'm so excited because season four, we take off into a completely new direction because of the events that end season three. The season four part of The Expanse, it's almost like a symphony. The first movement of the symphony ends with season three. And then the second movement starts with season four. So you get all the same characters, you get all the same situations and the same motivations, but you get a completely different direction, which I think is going to be very exciting because I've never seen this in a TV show where you follow an entire universe of people and stories, and then after a few seasons, it takes a completely different path, but you're still with all the characters that you've loved and have gotten to know, and it's like a giant feature film, you know, like a 3 or 4 year feature film where you get to go on this amazing journey that takes huge turns, which is what's about to happen.
Well, we're excited, and I know the fans were excited to see the finale and, of course, to give the support as Amazon takes you guys on to a new journey. So
yep.
I appreciate so much your
time
today.
We are very
today.
Grateful. Yeah. Very grateful.
Yeah.
And thank
we're
you
excited.
To the fans that made it all possible.
Well, thank you, and thank you for your time today, and hopefully we'll see you in a few weeks in San Diego.
Yes, ma'am, I will very likely be there.
All right. Well, if not, have a great summer and get ready to rock and roll with Amazon now. So congratulations
thank
again.
Thank you. And I very much appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. Talk to you soon, Cass.
Later. Bye-bye.